This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joel chapter 2, one of those very small books in the Bible. And if you have the electronic version, no problem at all. And if you don't have the thumb notes, it makes it a little bit harder to find, but it is in there, just a few verses out of there, verses 12 to 15. Just want to talk to you today about the benefits of prayer and fasting. As we come into the new year, we usually have a week of prayer, and this year we've just been feeling that, you know what, we need to do something a little bit more than that, and to go to that place to set aside 21 days to do some prayer and fasting. And so I thought, well, if we're going to do that, we want to give lots of notice, and that's why we're not starting it tomorrow. We're going to wait till the next week, and then we want to finish it on a Sunday, so that's why the dates that we are giving you. So Joel chapter 2, 12 to 15. That is why the Lord says, "Turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Who knows? Perhaps he will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of a curse. Perhaps you will be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before. Blow the ram horn in Jerusalem. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting." And Lord, we just pray your blessing over your word today. Well, this morning I just want to talk to you about prayer and fasting, and begin by announcing that we as a church will be setting aside a time this new year to do 21 days of prayer and fasting. Again, we usually do that just a week, but again, I just felt this year, you know, we need to up the ante and do a little bit more in this whole area of prayer and fasting. And these last few years have certainly been years for a lot of people that have been very difficult. And even as a church, we have faced some difficulties. But as we enter 2018, I'm really believing for far greater things, something brand new, bursting forth, new beginnings, things that we hope for coming to pass. And so I believe we need to take this time seriously and prepare ourselves for what God is going to do in 2018. And that's why I want to invite you to join with Judy and I on a 21-day fast. And official days are January 15th. To February 4th, just so that we can get enough notice out there to encourage people to join with us during that time and to pray. And if you want to start sooner, Judy and I have already started at the new year, and if there's others that want to join earlier, that's fine as well. We just want to make sure you do those at least 21 days. And I just believe we're to take this time more seriously, that it is to be a solemn time, and that we're to put effort into our prayer to also include fasting. Now, fasting is the abstaining from certain things for a period of times. And most times when we talk about fasting, we talk about the giving up of food or abstaining from food. Now, there can be many ways that you can fast during these 21 days. And we really want to leave that up to you of what you're feeling God is saying to you of what you should fast. And some might try the one meal a day, or some might want to do two meals a day. Just make sure you're drinking fluids during that time as you do so. Some may want to do a Daniel fast, where there are no meats or sweets, and you drink water for the 21 days. A lot of people like that one. Maybe there's another fasting plan that's out there. There's lots of them that are out there. I just encourage you, why not try one? And as you do so, make sure you're taking that time to pray. Other ways that you can fast as well, we want to include them all in there. Maybe it's abstaining from something you enjoy. I think that's kind of important as well, to abstain from things that you actually enjoy. Otherwise, it's not really a sacrifice. So pick something that maybe you enjoy as well to be included in that. Some people have a TV fast. They don't watch TV for that time. Or other forms of media, or Facebook. Take away Facebook for a while. And you often see that where people do put that on Facebook that say, I'm going to take a break from Facebook, so don't be looking for any posts from me. But do something that you enjoy and sacrifice that for God. Say, God, I'm going to set this aside so that I can pray and I can seek the Lord. And you need to pray with prayer and fasting. If you just fast, then all you're doing is a diet. And we want this to be more than just have physical benefit. We also want it to have spiritual benefit. And so that's why we want to include both of them. So there's many ways that you can fast. I just want to encourage you, talk to the Lord about it, and then decide on a plan of what you're going to do to bring fasting in your life for that period of time. And I believe as we do, I believe that we'll see something great break forth. So as we talk about this fast, I thought I should also just talk to you about some of the benefits of fasting. It is of our benefit to fast. And I know for a lot of Christians, we really don't like to fast because we actually do enjoy our food. I enjoy food too. And it's a whole lot easier just to pray, but there's sometimes we need to fast and pray. And as we take those times to fast and pray, there are benefits that help us and that bring us into a position of favor, a position of blessing, where God would touch us even more. And maybe you're going through something right now. We've had many of you needing healing. Maybe you're going through a difficult or a problem, and you have been praying. And maybe you've been at that place, maybe you've even been frustrated and saying, like, God, like, come on, God, like, why isn't anything happening? Why isn't anything breaking? Well, sometimes it's because you need to add to your prayer something else, and it's called fasting. So I just want to look at some areas here this morning that help us or that will tell us that prayer and fasting is of benefit to us. So first of all, prayer and fasting is beneficial to us as it gets God's attention. It involves an extra effort on our part that causes God to notice us. Especially when it comes to serious needs, the practice in the Bible has always been to fast and pray. And all throughout the whole Bible, from Genesis right through to Revelations, you can basically see times where people went to the Lord, they fasted, and they prayed. Passage of Scripture that we read here in Joel chapter 2, it says, that is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Well, the people of Israel, we didn't take time to read the whole passage of Scripture, but the people of Israel here in this text of Joel were experiencing judgment because of their disobedience. They were experiencing a locust infestation that was killing their crops. And they were in dire straits. And so as they're in dire straits, they are calling out to God. But God says, he invites them, he says, if you really want my attention, then you need to take and set aside a time to fast and pray. And friends, when there's a difficulty, when bad things are happening, or the enemy of our soul is advancing against us, or if we're in a situation where there doesn't seem to be a solution, I believe that God is calling us to fast and pray because it's a way of getting God's attention on the matter. And I really believe that God, this is going to witness with numbers of you here today, that you have been praying. But God is saying to you, you need to take that prayer level to a higher level, and you need to include some fasting if you really want this request to be answered. So this fasting will bring us to that place where it gets God's attention. The prophet Nehemiah, he also demonstrated this truth when faced with a need with the walls of Jerusalem to be rebuilt. And he recognized that one of the ways he could get God's attention on the matter was to fast and pray. Nehemiah 1, verses 4 and 6. He says, when I heard this, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days I mourned, I fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people, Israel. See, Nehemiah was grieved over the walls of Jerusalem not being restored and over the opposition that the people that were returning from captivity were experiencing from those around them. And from where he was at the time, the only thing that he could do was to pray and to fast. But see, Nehemiah realized that this is what you do when you come to situations where things need to be broken, where things need to open up, where there needs to be an answer that doesn't seem to be an answer. God is that person we need to call on in those times. So sometimes prayer can be, and fasting can only sometimes be the only thing left that you can do. And friends, if you're here today and you've been doing a number of things for a situation that you're going through or a difficulty that you've been going through, and you've done all kinds of things, but I just feel that the Lord is saying you forgot one, and that was fasting. To take with your prayer and go into a time of fasting and prayer. Because fasting and prayer gets God's attention. All through the Bible, we see people doing that because they know it gets God's attention. It's interesting that even in Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, Jesus himself, he went out and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he talked to us about prayer and he gave us the Lord's Prayer, he then talks about at the end of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, he started talking about fasting. And he says that don't do fasting so that you look spiritual. Don't do fasting, you know, because it's a thing to do. But do it as a sincere before the Lord. And he says to us in verse 18, he says, then no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father. Except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. See, God sees you when you fast and pray. God notices you when you fast and pray. So prayer and fasting gets God's attention. And therefore, that's something that's very beneficial to us. So again, if you're in a situation today that needs intervening, if there's a part of your body that is in need of healing today, if you're facing a problem that is bigger than yourself, and if you've been praying and the heavens seem like brass, there is a way to get God's attention. He wants to remind us today it's through prayer and fasting. There's been a lot of promises that have been spoken over this church and that continue to be spoken over this church. And I really believe that God is saying, it's time, it's time. But you have to be a part of this process. And if you would make a solemn occasion, if you would set aside some time to pray and to fast, it's going to open up this door that we're going to see a lot of these things that we've been believing God for, praying for, asking God for, come and take a place. So I think we need to make this a solemn occasion because the Lord is attentive to the prayers of his people and he takes special notice when he sees his people coming before him in prayer and fasting. So that's something I believe that God really wants to grab our attention here this morning. Secondly, prayer and fasting is a way to get guidance and direction from God. So if you're seeking direction in your life, if you're seeking guidance about a certain matter, well, prayer and fasting is one of those ways that that guidance and direction can come. Now, again, lots of examples in the Bible of people who fasted and prayed in this area as well that were seeking direction. They were seeking guidance from God because they didn't know what to do. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't know what to do anymore. You've kind of done everything that you know in the natural that you can do. And that's good to do those things. But I believe the Lord is saying, I got something else for you to do. There's one more step, and that's prayer and fasting. King Jehoshaphat, when he was faced with the armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, Mennonites, they were marching against him. He was vastly outnumbered. And so he called all of Judah to join with him in fasting and in seeking the Lord for guidance. You would think that he'd be saying so many other things about, man, we got to get our weapons ready, we got to get our fortifications built up and all these things. But instead, he knew what could really help. Prayer and fasting. So 2 Chronicles 20, 30-4 talks about that. He said, Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. See, anytime it talks about fasting, it already makes the assumption that prayer is going to be part of it. And again, fasting without prayer is just a diet. And I know we probably want to do diets as well after the New Year's and all the feasting we have done. But we want to do something that's going to have spiritual benefit, not just physical benefit. And that's why we need to fast and pray. This was also a truth practiced by the nation of Israel as they faced a problem with one of their tribes of Benjamin. And one of the issues that was developing there, and they were fighting against their brothers, and they were seeking the Lord to say, God, we need to know what we're supposed to do because these are our brothers. So what are we supposed to be doing here? And we see their story in Judges 20, 26, 27 says, then all the Israelites went up to Bethel, and they wept in the presence of the Lord, and they fasted until evening. They also brought burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. The Israelites went up seeking direction from the Lord. And in those days, the Ark of the Covenant of God was in Bethel. See, they were seeking advice. They were seeking guidance by the Lord for what they were to do against the Benjamites. And so that's what Israel did. They attacked them and they lost. And they're kind of, God, you told us that we're supposed to do this. How come we have lost? And so they came back and they began, well, let's fast and pray. That's how you're going to get guidance. That's how you're going to get the direction straight from the throne room. And that's what they did. They sought the direction. They sought the guidance. And they did go out and win the battle. And friends, that's what we need to do as well. When we need guidance in our lives, when we need direction in our lives, don't forget this simple little truth, to pray and to fast. One of those other forms of fasting, too, is sometimes people like to fast from sundown to sunup. Sometimes you just fast when it's dark. And wintertime is a great time to do that because that's not too long. That means you can have breakfast and supper and just miss your lunch and to do that one. And lots of people do that fast as well. A lot of Muslim people do that kind of fasting. And they've done it in the Bible here as well. So just another area of that. If you want to try fasting, some other possible ways. Even in the early church, as we go into the New Testament, prayer and fasting was the way demonstrated to us how the church received guidance and the direction that they needed. And in concerning spiritual matters, prayer and fasting was very, very important to the early church. And when we see the missionary journeys of Paul and Barnabas, we see that came about because the men and women of God were praying and fasting. It says in Acts 13, it says, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul, who later became Paul, for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. And when it says laid their hands on them, that doesn't mean that they beat them up. It means just like we often do here, you just, a form of touch, they laid their hands on them, and they committed them to the ministry. So prayer and fasting is definitely an important practice in the Bible. And in regards to spiritual decisions, it's still very much needed in the church. Greater things would happen in the church if we would take time to pray and fast before we made decisions. And that's something I think that speaks to all of us, that sometimes we make our decisions quite quickly. And, you know, we kind of, you know, our human knowledge and, oh, yeah, I know what to do, or experience, and we're just going that. And sometimes, you know what, we make decisions that are wrong because we do that. God's saying a way to get guidance and direction in our lives is to pray and fast. So prayer and fasting is a way where one can receive guidance and the direction that we need. And I really believe that God... There's numbers of you here in this place that have been seeking guidance and direction in a certain matter, and you've been a little bit frustrated because you haven't been getting it. Doesn't seem to be the answer, doesn't seem to be coming. And I believe the Lord's just saying to us today, I want you to pray and fast. So add a little bit something to those prayers, and as you honor God by doing that, God will honor you, and you will see that happen. Thirdly, prayer and fasting is a way to break through. As we fast and pray, it helps us break the resistance that has been coming against us. And if you look at the definition of breakthrough, that's basically what it is. It's breaking the resistance that has been coming against you. And there has been a lot of resistance of the enemy that has been coming against us. Sometimes it's man-made resistance. But it's the same way to get the breakthrough is by prayer and fasting. I realize that 2017 and probably 2016 as well has been a year, has been years for many of you where you've been under attack of the enemy. I know 2017 was the strongest one. I know for Judy and I, that's probably been our hardest one. And where the enemy has been attacking us and resisting the plans that God has for us. And friends, sometimes what you need to do is don't just pray about it. Certainly don't just complain about it. But make a stand. And one of those ways you can make a stand and break the resistance is by prayer and by fasting. In this passage we started with in Joel chapter 2, the prophet delivers a message from God that calls the people to pray and fast. And depending on their response, he says this could lead to the breakthrough for them, where judgment and this pestilence of locusts could be broken and removed. Joel 2:14, he says, who knows? Perhaps as we do this, he will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of this curse. Perhaps you will be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before. And so what he was doing, he was challenging the people that if you would respond seriously and take this time to pray and fast, the potential of breakthrough would be far greater in your life. And that really goes for us too. If we would humble ourselves, if we would get serious, if we would pray and take a step further to fast, then it would open the door to experience breakthrough. And this, there'd be that stopping of the resistance and the hindrance that has been coming against us as well. And so if you've been experiencing a resistance, if you've been experiencing a hindrance, and you know this is more than just natural. There's something spiritual behind that, and you'll be able to tell that difference. Begin to pray. Begin to fast. Prophet Daniel is another great example of a man of God that would pray and fast much. And every time that there was a problem or situation, that's what Daniel would do. He would go and pray. He would go and fast. And one of those occasions is found in Daniel chapter 9, 2 and 3. It says, during the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord, as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. And so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. That was a normal practice for Daniel that got him results, that saved him from many traps that the enemy brought his way. And of course, we remember that story of Daniel in the lion's den and how constantly they were trying, the other wise men were trying to come against him because Daniel was giving messages to the king, and he was getting those messages because he fasted and because he prayed. And that was a normal practice for him that got results. And that's something that we should take note of. And you'll also remember at the very beginning of the book of Daniel, he stood for his faith where all the captives that came from Jerusalem, and they were offered meat that was offered to idols and wine that was offered to idols. And Daniel didn't want to defile himself. And so he went to the head person. He said, how about we do a test? And I'd like to do this test that we would only eat vegetables and basically water, which was the test. And he said, then test us after a period of time to see if we're not healthier than those who are eating this meat that was offered to idols. And that's where we get the Daniel fast from, where basically you're eating vegetables and water and refraining from sweets. And so that's where the Daniel fast came from. And we see that as they did that, they were much healthier. And as the heads of the of those group of people came and examined them, they found out they were far healthier and were in much better shape than all the other captives. So Daniel was faced with many tough decisions, many interesting circumstances, but he always went to the Lord in prayer and in fasting. And that's something that's good for us to do. You know, see, sometimes in life, you know, we can go through some very trying times and difficult times where breakthrough is prayed for, but breakthrough doesn't come. Sometimes there's a resistance to the prayers that we have been praying, and we also see that in the book of Daniel. If you read through there, it talks about those spiritual battles and heavenly places that we don't see take place. We don't see them in the natural eye, but they do take place, and there's resistance that takes place. And the only way that, or one of the only ways that resistance can be broken is with prayer and with fasting. Even Jesus, when he was addressing his own disciples on breaking deep spiritual resistance, mentioned the need that we need to pray and fast. And he was talking about demons in people's lives. Mark chapter 9, 28, 29, and the disciples were asking, how come we couldn't get this demon out of these people? And Jesus said to them, why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? And Jesus said, this kind can be cast out only by prayer and by fasting. Now, some translations, they delete that part of fasting, but it's in most of the originals, and so we'll keep that in there because that is such a true statement, is that prayer and fasting can break those spiritual strongholds that come our way. And sometimes you're under such a spiritual attack that comes along with a physical attack that the only way you're going to break it is sometimes through prayer and fasting. So sometimes you need to realize prayer is not enough in itself. Prayer is not enough for some of the breakthroughs that may be needed in your life. And that God is saying you need to add some times of fasting to your prayer. If you really want this request to be answered, then God's saying there's something you need to do as well. You know, today we're in that instant generation. We just want everything instant and quick, and we don't want to put effort into a lot of things. And that's why we don't experience a lot of things in our churches, is because statistics tell us that most of us as Christians, we really don't pray very much. And when it comes to fasting, boy, we even qualify far worse. And so if we really want to see some big things happen, God's saying we need to pray and we need to fast. So if you're in need of a breakthrough in your life today, if you're in need of a breaking of a resistant spirit that maybe has come against you, that answer is prayer and by fasting. That is the way to your breakthrough. Then fourthly, prayer and fasting is a way for our prayers to be heard. It's just kind of an extra element that helps our prayers to be noticed and also to be heard by God. And I believe it shows that we are taking it as a serious matter and making it as a solemn matter when we do go to that place of prayer and fasting. Prophet priest Ezra, he realized this truth when King Artaxerxes of Persia, he came to him and he said, you're going to be sent back to the exiles that have gone back to Jerusalem. And he was sending Ezra back there as the priest. And they needed to rebuild the temple. They also needed to rebuild the walls. Now, Ezra had been testifying to the king about how great his God is. And so when it came to that place where the king said, okay, I'm going to send you back, that you're going to be able to minister to those exiles, then he kind of became embarrassed, Ezra, thinking, well, I can't ask the king to send troops with us because I just said God was great. And so what did he do? He went to prayer and fasting, because he realized his journey would be dangerous. They were carrying with them a lot of things that were taken out of the temple. Now they were taking them back. They had lots of valuables that was with them, and they would be a target of marauders that were all kinds of them back there in those days. So Ezra realized, I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast so that we don't have to ask the king for protection. And we see that story in Ezra chapter 8, 23. It says, so we fasted and we earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer. See, prayer and fasting gets God's attention, but it also helps us in that God hears our requests. So if you've been struggling with some prayer request, or there's an area in your life that you've been praying about and it hasn't been answered, I really encourage you, add some fasting to it. Add some fasting, and it helps in being heard. But I also want to tell you as well that as we talk about prayer and fasting, just because you pray and fast, it does not force the hand of God. It puts us in a position for the hand of God to move in our lives. We don't force God to do anything. He's still God. And so we got to realize as we pray and as we fast that, yes, that's important, but it doesn't always guarantee that you're going to get what you want. However, we're still to pray. The psalmist David, he realized that truth, and he realized that fasting and prayer makes a difference when he heard about a situation where a number of people were sick. And it tells us in Psalm 35, 13, he said, "Yet when they were ill, I grieved for them. I denied myself by fasting for them, but my prayers returned unanswered." See, our prayers will be heard. Through prayer and fasting, yes, God is going to hear us. But it's not a magical formula to force God to do anything. It's just something that helps us, that as we pray, that puts us in a position of favor, that not only can we be heard, but we'd also be answered. So just because you fast pray doesn't mean that answer is going to come. There's a strong possibility that it will, but there is also a possibility that it may not happen. It doesn't force God. So maybe you've been a person that you fasted and you prayed and you already did a great effort for a certain need or a certain situation, and you already prayed, you fasted, and nothing happened. And because of that, you got mad. You got upset with God, and you said, "Then forget about it. What's the point of even bother fasting and prayer?" And you didn't even answer, "Lord, you put that on my heart to do that for this person, and it didn't happen." Well, that's up to God. If God told you pray and fast, that's your job. It's His job to look after whether or not He answers that request. And so we need to leave that the results are up to Him. Our job is to respond to what God says to us. But as we do pray, as we do fast, there is a position of favor where God not only hears us, that God can also respond to us. So then lastly, prayer and fasting is a way to experience reward. So even if your prayer is not answered the way you want it to, you need to realize that God will still reward you for that time of prayer and fasting. And that's something that's important for us to note, because sometimes as we pray and fast, we might find out, you know what, that wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's will to do that. And we did all that time, but we had a realization at the end of it that, okay, that's not God. That's not the way God's going to do this thing. But there's still a blessing that comes back to you. See, it's profitable because God promises that we will be rewarded for our prayers and for our fasting. We see that Jesus saying that again, just at the end of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6. And he talks about the Pharisees who are wanting to be noticed because, you know, they fasted twice a week. And he says, "No one will notice that you're fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private." And then he says these words, "And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." So even if that prayer request that didn't get answered the way you thought it should be answered, there's still going to be a reward for you because you pray. And that's a promise from God. He promises to reward us as we pray and fast. Our prayer and fasting will not go unnoticed, nor will it go without a reward coming back our way. So as you pray, as you fast, God says, "I will reward you." What is a reward? Reward is something that is good for us. It's something that would favor us. It's something that would bring compensation and profit back into our lives. So that's what a reward is. And then on top of that reward, you might receive what you ask for. So not only are you rewarded and maybe some physical, spiritual sense, He's also going to maybe reward you by answering that request. But make no mistake, one way or the other, there will be some kind of reward that will happen because you have fasted and prayed. So that's something to keep in mind, that God will favor us. There will be a compensation. There will be profit brought back into our lives because we've taken the time to pray and fast. And so this morning, I hope that you see that prayer and fasting is a practice that's beneficial for us. And it's a proven way for us to experience God. And I know even in my own life, and I kind of feeling the Lord was telling me, you need to fast more too. And I think he's saying that to all of us here today, that we need to pray and fast more. Don't wait for a once a year time. And maybe that's why I was sensing so strong just to, we need to do 21 days. A week's not enough. We need to do 21 days. That we as a congregation would decide, maybe we might fast in different ways, but that we would all fast in some way during those 21 days, seeking the Lord, praying to the Lord, and let's see what God will do. Because prayer and fasting, it is a way to get God's attention. Prayer and fasting is a way to get the guidance and direction and life that we need. Prayer and fasting is a way to the breakthrough, the breaking of the removal of the enemy's resistance. Prayer and fasting is a way to be heard by God. Prayer and fasting is a way where God will reward us. So friends, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to set aside. So remember those days, January 15th to February the 4th, 21 days. We want to set that aside that we can pray and fast. There will be different times. The church is open at any time you want to come and pray. There'll be sometimes we'll have noon hours. Sometimes we're going to be visiting in people's homes and praying and kind of in our region, believing God for some breakthroughs. So that's going to be happening throughout that time as well. But we want to encourage you at your home. Pray and fast together. Don't just fast and not pray. Yes, the diet may be beneficial for you, but the diet God wants is off the heart. And if we would do that, God's going to bless us and God's going to minister to us. And so this morning, as our musicians come back to the instruments, I hope that resonates in your heart this year. As we start this 2018, I really do believe some great things to happen and be accomplished. As I said, things are already happening. Things are already taking place. Our job is to pray. Our job is to fast. And I think God's just saying, you need to take it a step further. He's been seeing your request. He's been hearing your request. He knows what's going on in your life. And he's seeing those cries from your heart. But sometimes when you go through tough stuff, you need to get tough yourself and say, okay, that's it. I had enough of this devil. I had enough of this situation. I'm going to set aside some time, not just to pray, but to fast. So I encourage you to do that. Join with us in doing that. And as I said, you know, we're making it easy. We're not... You know, some churches say we're all doing a Daniel fast together. I realize with people, medications, and diabetes, all those kinds of things, it kind of makes it hard to do certain fasts. And so you do a fast that you can do that's not going to bring harm to your body. And if you need to, maybe you need to take some of those other areas because maybe you have to eat regularly or whatever. You can fast in some way. There's always something, guarantee you. And I bet you this morning, that when I said, give up something that you enjoy, you actually had a thought come to your head that said, oh, not that one. Yeah, exactly. That's what. One of mine's been chocolate. I love chocolate. And I determined in my head, that's what I'm going to do. You know, my wife gave me at Christmas time a big jar full of chocolate. I said, oh, man. I'm going to do it anyway. I encourage you to do that. Whatever God would say to you. Put a little extra in with your fasting that you maybe include something else. Maybe for you, it might be, maybe it might just be Facebook. To say, I'm going to take 21 days off Facebook. Or whatever. Guarantee you God will say something to you about it. So Father, I just thank you for your people here this morning. And I thank you that you are a God that actually wants to give us what we're requesting. But Lord, you also want to teach us that prayer is important. So is fasting. And Father, I ask that you would forgive us because, Lord, even my own life, I haven't been fasting enough. And I think many of us could probably say the same, that I've really been fasting enough. It really should be a normal practice in our lives because it was in the early church. It was in the Old Testament as well. It was just a normal practice. Even for the Pharisees themselves, they fasted twice a week. So, Lord, we realize that it is important. But I thank you, God, as you remind us about that today, that we are going to see some of those answers. Those answers that have been delayed, those answers that have been hindered, those answers where we haven't been getting that result and all that frustration that's come with it. As we pray and fast, it's going to be broken. Resistance is going to be broken. And Lord, I just believe that you are telling us that there has been some resistance. You have been fighting against a resistance. The resistance has been more than just physical or natural. There has been a spiritual resistance that's been coming against us. And I believe God is saying, this is going to be broken once and for all as we take the time, as we commit ourselves to 21 days, it's going to be broken. That resistance, even over the whole church, is going to be broken in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I just pray, speak to us, Lord, in ways that we can do this. Lord, I pray you would just help us to set aside the time to pray. Lord, help us for if we're giving up a meal or if we're trying a Daniel fast or, Lord, if it's a fast, Lord, for just during the daylight hours, whatever it might be, God. I just pray that you would guide us. And, Lord, if there's something else we need to fast, that you would just show us that too. That we might just lay it aside to say, I'm serious, God. I'm serious. I'm wanting an answer. I'm wanting this breakthrough, God. So I'm going to lay it aside to get the answer that we need. Bless your people today, Father. I thank you for them. I just speak blessing over them. I speak breakthrough to start happening already. And that, Lord, even as they would start to fast and pray, that, Lord, they won't have to wait 21 days to start seeing some answers, but they'll start happening sooner. And that, Lord, it would be an encouragement to them to do it even more. So, Lord, just speak blessing over your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you would like prayer here at this church, we always give an opportunity for people to receive prayer. And so if you'd like to come forward, we'll gladly pray with you. We have prayer workers that'll come and they'll pray with you. Or maybe you're one of those shy types and you're here in church and say, I ain't walking up front. But boy, I could use prayer. Well, you know what? Maybe just nudge somebody that's around you and say, could you get somebody to come and pray for me? And that person could come up and get one of us, or maybe even that person that you might have touched, so I can pray for you. And so we do want to pray for you, so if we make it easy for you. So let us stand together as we close, and as we sing this song in closing, as we sing that song, you are dismissed. If you want to stay and worship a little bit, feel free to do that. If you want to come up for prayer, feel free to do that, and we'd be very glad to pray for you. We just ask that the other ministry teams would come, and thank you.